It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
They're a high-effort group, and they got some real players over there. We're going to have our hands full, but just trusting the game plan, trusting our base rules, making sure that we're communicating and protecting, just getting the ball into our playmakers' hands, and just trying to make as many plays as possible, taking care of the football.
I don't know. I kind of felt like a long drive to my first day of school, kind of. So, yeah, it was a lot to think about.
Let them be them. You know, that's something that we preach a lot in this offense, be you with us. You don't have to change who you are or what you do in this offense.
You know, he plays with a lot of grit, a lot of hustle. He plays hard. Obviously, he's been one of the top quarterbacks in the game for a while now. Just to be able to play with him and experience that in person, I think it's going to be real cool.
He lines up under center over the left side, and he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it, throws to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning. Happy Football Friday. I just thought of something right away. So remember a couple days ago when we talked about postseason baseball and how one of the coolest shots there is the dude smashes a homer and you get to see all the fans rise with the guy at the same time?
Yes, like behind him?
Yes. Yeah. There's another one that's really great.
Okay.
And that is when they isolate it the other way, not showing first base, but showing the third baseline, and they show, like, there's a guy on third who gets to strut home watching that ball go over the fence and flex on home plate. There's a really good one. I want to say when Batista hit the one in Toronto, it was a bat flip, and whoever it was on third base comes home and gives, like, the biggest roar and flex as they cross home plate.
Yeah,
pretty cool spot to be in if you're in for one of those famous home runs to be on third.
Yeah.
You get to touch the play and be like, LFG, baby.
And that happened last night against Cleveland, or against the Yankees.
The guy on third base for the big Christmas home run.
The big Christmas home run. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I do like just look get all the different angles when that happens. Everyone's different reaction. Did we get a dugout reaction?
Yes.
When that happened,
did
too?
You see the roof shot that's only audio from 600 yards away?
I did not see that.
It's
from
amazing.
Outside 600 yards away, the stadium?
Yes. All you hear is
that's cool.
It's a view of the stadium in Cleveland. You see the lights on, and there's a murmur of crowd noise. And you're thinking, all right, when am I going to hear this? And you can hear the crack of the ball in the bat, and then the crowd goes nuts.
Wow.
It's so great.
Yeah. What a game last night.
Another reason that fall is elite. I mean, come on. Last night's moments for the Yankees and Guardians, just awesome stuff. Well, for the Guardians. Not so much for the Yankees, but they're still up in the series.
Lined up perfect, too, if you're watching that Sabre game, because it was like right in the second intermission. All of that.
Yeah.
Like the home run to tie it at the bottom of the ninth, and then the 10th inning home run also. Last night you had two different home runs you could have watched the views on because they were both like it felt like equally momentous.
My cousin decided to go to that game like yesterday morning.
Ugh.
Just drive to Cleveland.
Yeah. As a Yankees fan, so maybe not the best outcome, but
whatever.
Still,
awesome.
What a great game.
Well, sweet.
Yeah, playoff baseball is I am so into playoff baseball this year. I don't know what it is about this postseason. Maybe it's who's in it. Like, the Yankees being in it does make me care more about it. I'm not rooting for them. The Mets being in it, I think, makes me care. Ohtani, I don't know. The brands and the stars are drawing me to it a little bit more, and then you're getting, like, ninth inning home runs, I feel like, every other night.
You're saying
which is also helping.
If this was Bruins-Padres, you might be a little less.
Bruins-Padres.
Sorry, Brewers.
Brewers, Padres. Oh, right.
Before 7 a.m. doesn't count.
If it was Brewers, Padres, I might not have been tuned in last night, I must say.
Now, if it was Bruins, Padres, maybe you would.
That'd be, what are they playing? What are they playing, though?
Don't know, but I'd watch it.
A combination. Some combo of hockey and baseball. And then the Mets just can't hang right now with the Dodgers.
Nope, that's right. That's right. Well, good morning. Happy Football Friday. We've got lots coming up today. We'll check in with Sal and Chris Brown, and Stevie Johnson is scheduled to join us in studio. Also a Titans guest, Tyler Rowland on the Titans. I've got a couple of stats for you on the Titans for this game. We can, if anybody wants to talk about the Sabres, you know, have at it. We have a phone line. But we'll avoid that for now. Here's the stat on Will Levis. He doesn't do anything well right now.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not even the moon balls last year that he was slinging down the field.
He doesn't do anything well.
Yeah.
I was listening to Joe Marino, who we talked to on Wednesdays, and he rattled off a bunch of the stats on Levis, and it's all disaster. Horrible. His EPA per dropback is below Deshaun Watson,
who I thought was like the worst quarterback in 30 years.
Yeah, well.
Levis is worse than that?
Levis is worse. And in Tennessee, they've got a good defense, and they've got good weapons, and their quarterback is killing them. So I'm over here bullish on this Sunday 1 o'clock Elite Fall Sunday game being a Bills romp. The vibes are going to be back. After beating the Jets, trading for Amari Cooper, and romping on the Titans, which is what they should do. They should really handle this team. I think we're all going to be flying pretty high Sunday afternoon.
Levis, some of his game logs on the year, like he's had one good game maybe all year, and I don't even know if I want to qualify that as that, because Green Bay was the game he threw for 260 a few weeks ago, and he had a couple touchdowns, but this is not a good game. You score 14 points, you threw two interceptions, and took, hold for it, 8 sacks in the game. Yeah, I mean, that's tough. Their defense is great, though, which is why, like, I kind of want to think that the Titans could hang around in this game a little bit, even if Levis... But that's the thing. Levis, it's negative plays.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, like, oh, they're going to punt a bunch, and they're going to run the ball at 3 yards a clip, and they'll have 6 points, and they'll be hanging... Like, Levis will get his defense in trouble because he's going to do 5 things in the game that are wild and could go back the other direction for a defensive touchdown, even. Or it's just going to be a short field. Or he's going to take sacks. He's going to do that. Like... Just you're going to get negative plays from him more than probably any other quarterback right now in the NFL.
Yep.
Like, Watson's not giving you any good plays. Levis, I guess, isn't giving you many good plays either, but the negative plays are the thing.
Lots of sacks, lots of picks. You know, on the hang around point, they are 1-4. Yeah. 3 losses are one possession losses. They lost by 7 to the Bears, 7 to the Jets, and 3 to the Colts.
Okay.
And then they got beat pretty badly by the Packers. So, I'm expecting the defense to look pretty good. And whether that's the pass rush getting there, I mean, he got sacked. He gets sacked all the time. He averages like getting sacked six times a game. He's on the ground a lot. He makes horrible decisions under pressure. The Bills are going to confuse him with coverages. One thing pointed out last week about Rodgers is, you know, the Bills use a lot of disguising stuff, and Rodgers is going to be one of the best at, hey, I know what you're doing. Like, I can figure you out here. Watch you on film, see what you do. And Rodgers looked pretty good. The one thing about Levis, I guess, that we'll have to watch is, will they get chunk plays? Will they find a way to get DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd,
Calvin Ridley.
He's
the one they signed a giant contract to, and he's supposed to be a downfield threat.
And he had no catches last week.
I mean, he's a guy you're dropping in your fantasy leagues right now. Maybe, like, you're getting close to that.
Yep.
Because he's got one game on the year above 50 yards. And listen to his last 3 games. 8 targets, 0 catches. That was last week.
That's unheard of.
8 targets, 0 catches. Week before that, 3 targets, 1 catch for 5 yards. Week before that, 3 catches, 1 catch for 9 yards. He's got 14 yards in his last 3 games. Calvin Ridley, who's a good receiver. And he's down the field. So those are supposed to be some of the things Will Levis can do, and they're just not happening.
Nope.
At all. So, like, what am I scared of? I'm looking at the Bills' schedule and thinking, like, this is a game I'm probably as confident they'll win as any game left on their schedule.
Should be. Home.
Like, maybe home New England later on in the year.
Home, bad quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be, they got to do it. And I think they will. You know, we'll all be waiting to see if Amari Cooper has a role. If he's out there for any snaps, if he's dressed.
Is the game opponent part of that? Like, is them being such a big favorite, or it being a game you'd expect to win, more of a reason to, like, hey, we don't really need to force this week? I don't know. That doesn't have to play into it, because if he's ready, he's ready, and if he's not ready, he's not ready. And maybe that's what really should matter more here. But if he's active and standing on the sidelines, and they have a select set of plays for him, and he knows a chunk of the playbook and not all of it, and they're up 21-6 in the second quarter, they might just say, yeah, we don't need to throw you out there yet, because right, we're going to win this game by 20.
Yeah. It's a good question. how much they involve him, what they think about that. The Jets, the difference is the Jets have a game against the Steelers, and that should be much more competitive, and they probably feel more desperate. So, and Devontae Adams has a rapport with Aaron Rodgers. So for Adams to go in quicker than Cooper, to me, makes sense.
Right.
A couple things line up. They need it more, and they've had a history together. Cooper and Allen have to build that. So I'm eager to see it when it happens. It'd be nice if they introduced him. It'd be nice if it happened at home. I was driving in today thinking, should the Bills introduce and thank Tyler Boyd on the Jumbotron?
Has he been back?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's been
Bills
back.
Bills fans, please welcome Tyler Boyd.
They did it for Dalton. That was like the first preseason game in the stadium after the drought.
Preseason? Does it not count because it's preseason?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Do it for Tyler Boyd. Boyd, well, welcome back.
Yeah. 7 years later, it's kind of was he always good? I remember when he caught that pass, like he wasn't really
he's always good.
Much of a guy.
Yeah. Boyd's been one of the best slot guys in the NFL most of his career.
Okay, I'm looking right now though. That year that he caught the touchdown from Dalton to send the Bills to the playoffs, how many receiving yards he had on the season? He had 225.
Wow,
in 10 games. The year before he had 600. So he had yet to really establish himself when he caught that pass, and immediately after it was like 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards, 800 yards, 800 yards, and now he's just a slot guy underneath for Tennessee. They're going to be a deadline team too, aren't they? The Titans. They're going to be talked about for Hopkins. Maybe they're even going to be talked about for Boyd, right? Like the Chiefs trading for a receiver. Like, aren't you calling the Titans immediately because they have three? I mean, they're not trading Ridley because of the contract, but they have three veteran receivers. That's what's so weird about the Titans to me is I feel like they're kind of trying. They have a veteran running back that they paid in Tony Pollard. They have veteran receivers that we just mentioned. They have a great defense. They just went after a great player in the secondary, Legarius Sneed, although he's not playing well, I guess. The roster, the moves on the roster are kind of like, okay, guys in their 30s, let's go. Like, we can still be competitive here. And then the quarterback is just like, yeah, we're just kind of experimenting here and finding out if he's good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really line up, I guess. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
They're a team that will bench Levis. Like, maybe first.
Yeah.
Like, will he be the next quarterback benched?
The difference is, like, with Bryce Young, a number one overall pick, that's big news. Levis is a second round pick. If they decided to do it, it would be,
right,
well, all right, they're going to move on to try something else.
But it's like, how much do you really have to give a second round pick? How much time do you really have to give him? The investment is just not the same as if the guy was a top five pick. So, like, to me, him exiting that starting job sometime soon is very possible, which I will be sad about because he is definitely still a riot on Sundays.
He's interesting.
Yeah. Like we said, going into the year, he's going to be a lot of fun. He is a lot of fun, but it's, maybe not right, it's all the negative.
Not for his teammates, but
no,
for us. Yeah. Last week, he was 16 of 27 for 95 yards.
Yikes. They lost that game by three?
Yes.
That's amazing.
That's the Colts.
See, that's why I don't just want to automatically declare, like, okay, this is going to be a blowout. Because, look right there. Last week, Will Levis threw for 95 yards, and they only lost the game by three. Although, dive in, like, how'd that happen? Like, Indy throw a pick six or something?
To give you context, Indianapolis' pass defense is 26th in the NFL in yards given up. He had 95 yards.
Okay.
The Titans do have the number one pass defense by yards allowed. Number one. Number two is the Jets. Number one is Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, the Bills' run defense, by the way, is suspect. And that's kind of how I'm looking right now. Like, I mean, they were fine. Tony Pollard ran 17 carries for 93 yards. Spears, and I guess, really, how did they keep up in that game? They didn't put any offense on the board.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550 to join us. Bills and Titans, Sunday, 1 o'clock.
I used to hate the Titans.
Yeah, you did.
It's definitely faded. But I hated the Titans. And that is just, it's so different now. Like, they were always the fake team. Maybe that's the Steelers for me now. I always felt like the Titans were just the fake good team. Even when they were the one seed, it was like, guys, come on. They're not, even at the home, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to be, they're a team that's built through their running game, and their running back was all-time great, but it never mattered to me. When your quarterback's Ryan Tannehill and you're built that way, I just always thought you were limited, and that really kind of got proven true. It all kind of collapsed in the last 2 years. They have not been. They had like what two? Was it two seasons where they were like that? Where they were great at the top? They were the one seed the one time.
Yep.
And then I think they had one other year where they beat the Patriots in a playoff game.
That's Brady's last playoff. That's his last throw in New England was a pick six.
Okay, right. Yeah. So they did. They that year won a playoff game, and then the last couple have been tough, and just never liked that team.
The way they've gone though, Vrabel will be coaching again very soon, right?
Honestly, forgot about Vrabel.
Right.
Where is he right now?
Nowhere.
Nowhere?
Not head coach. I'm
surprised the Jets didn't hire him.
He's going to go somewhere.
He's a consultant in Cleveland.
Okay. Well?
Yeah.
What's he think about Amari Cooper?
Him not becoming a coach kind of got swept under the radar because Belichick didn't become a coach, right?
Yep.
Vrabel not... Is that weird that he didn't get a head coaching job?
I'd imagine
there's a power thing with him, right?
As soon as he wants one, he'll have one again.
Yeah. I think the thing, though, with him was that he's a coach that like you're going to need to give power to, which a lot of teams will be willing to do. Maybe it was just didn't line up last year that would happen. Yeah, Vrabel's in Cleveland, though, right now. So, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of starting over. They're kind of not because of their good players, and all this is justice because they weren't actually ever that good.
Yep. 803-0550, when we remember some Titans, we can do that with... You know, as you said, they're a fake team. I'm thinking about how, like, I never thought Eddie George was good. And he was, like, their franchise identity. Yeah. He ran for 4 yards a carry for his career.
Yeah. I mean, before that 12-5 season where they were the one seed. Actually, were they the one seed in back-to-back years? No, that was the 2021 season. They were 12-5. Like, listen to their 2016 on. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 11-5.
Isn't that Jeff Fisher in there?
A lot? No, Malarkey.
Okay. Oh, whoa. All right.
Malarkey and then into Vrabel. You didn't have Malarkey in there that late?
No.
Malarkey was the coach when they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs in Mahomes' rookie year where he didn't play.
Okay. Bills-Titans, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Catch the fever. 803-0550, our number, and 1-888-552-550. If you want to chime in on, you know, expectations, game predictions, vibes, anything like that, and we've got a call on the Sabres. If you want to call on the Sabres, I suppose we'll take it. Paul in Buffalo on the Sabres. Good morning, Paul.
Before I get to that, that was a great ball game last night. I made the right decision to watch the baseball before I got to the Sabres. It just reminds me how privileged I was to watch Mariano Rivera for years because forget about just the last three outs. The last nine outs of a playoff game, so hard to get. And they get exponentially harder every three outs to see Classe get hammered, to see Luke Weaver, Clay Holmes get shelled. Those were two great bullpens that got shelled last night. Anybody who watched was privileged to a wonderful game. On to the Sabres. Matias Samuelsson made just a classic Matias Samuelsson giveaway at the beginning of, I think, of the first goal last night. And I just think to myself, our defensemen, like people who have been coached by amateur coaches their whole career. I mean, Owen Power, I didn't want to say anything about last game. He has no defensive awareness at all. He just stands around cluelessly. Now, when Dahlin stupidly, I guess, tried to rush the puck out against two guys because he no longer has faith in his teammates, Power just stood there because he had no clue what to do. And when those guys knocked Dahlin down and stripped the puck, Power looked like a newborn baby calf, just didn't know how to walk yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, even Levi let us down last night. Mm-hmm. And I guess, Terry Pegula, the question is, the dumpster is smoldering. We can see the smoke coming out of it. Are you waiting for full-on dumpster fire? Are you waiting for us to have protests outside the arena to have Kevin Adams fired? I mean, I will go to Pat LaFontaine on your behalf and beg him to come back. And if it costs you $10 million a year to get Pat LaFontaine back here to fix your franchise, Terry, then that's what you got to pay. If it costs you another $2 million a year to get Mike Pekka back here on your bench, then that's what you got to pay. Because I can no longer blame Kevin Adams, Terry Pegula. You have obviously dug this hole for us. And your little puppet, Kevin Adams, has danced to your strings, and I've insulted Kevin Adams enough. Now I'm coming for you. And Lindy, you're not safe either, because you're coaching with a bunch of amateurs, and no one believes that you chose them as your assistant coaches. Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Paul.
I mean, they lost to the Blue Jackets last night. They lost to the Blue Jackets.
Not only did they lose to the Blue Jackets, but
they gave up six.
It was the kind of game where every time you thought, all right, maybe they'll figure this out, you got smashed in the face like a whack-a-mole.
Like, immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, all right, hey, Yuri Kulik, first goal. All right, this feels great. For those about to rock! Like, oh, man, all right. I thought that was going to be a good moment for Yuri Kulik. Like, all right, let's go to the third period. What are you? You're in this? You got some time left? Let's start the third period. For those about... And that's every time you thought you could have... A minute and a half of peace.
That
cannon launched in your face.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't even think about the third period goal for that. So here's the second period goals and how immediately the Blue Jackets scored after. How much game time was there where they were down by one? Let's add it up. Ready? Ryan McLeod scores at 9:34 in the second period to make it 2-1. At 12:18, Adam Fantilli scores.
It doesn't count unless you say for those about to rock and make the cannon sound.
Okay. For those about to rock. All right, so 3 minutes. There's 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yuri Kulik scores, tips it in at 7:29.
Oh, man, everybody feels so good for him. Oh, all right, first NHL goal. Hey, kid, you're doing great.
Yeah, 17:58, Columbus, 30 seconds later.
30 seconds.
Okay, so 3.5 minutes now they have of playing time that they are down by one. Owen Power, 25 seconds left in the second period.
Let's go.
There you go.
We're in it.
All right.
Let's get to the third.
15 seconds in. So that's 50 seconds.
That's
less than 5 minutes of playing. They scored three goals in less than 5 minutes of playing time. They were actually down by one.
I had a thought.
Unbelievable.
When Power scored at the end of the second, like, you know what? You can't give up a goal right away after you score if you score so late in the period that they can't do it, and yet they still got it done right at the start of the third.
Yeah.
I've got nothing left. I don't know what to say. Sometimes people write to me like, oh, you got a rant coming in the morning? Like, who could? What could you say?
There's nothing left to say. I've one comment in that they have right now between, I would say, last night, you mentioned Samuelson. Samuelson makes five plays a night now that are driving you nuts. Between Samuelson, Cousins, and there's Clifton makes bad plays every night.
Quinn's in the press box last night.
Quinn's in the press box. But those three players, Clifton, they're a team that already has, what, $7 million in cap space that aren't spending up to the cap right now. Between Samuelson, Cousins, and Clifton, you have $15 million invested in three players that are actively hurting them night to night and doing nothing. So it's not just $7 million. That is $22 million that are just right now nothing.
Yep.
Just doing nothing. $7 million you're not spending, and then $15 million on guys that are doing absolutely nothing for you. That's the best I got. Otherwise, I'm just... I said yesterday I was emotionally exhausted before they lost 6-4 to Columbus. Now, I don't know what's left. Fire Kevin Adams? Sure, I don't know.
Does it change anything? Also, it brings me no joy to report to you that I'm being told that the first overall pick in this year's draft is not exactly one of the guys you'd like to finish first for.
Sweet.
James Hagans.
Sweet.
Sure, he's a nice player, but it's not like one of those years.
I need an expansion draft.
Expansion draft.
I need an expansion draft.
803-0550, our phone number. Thanks, Paul, for the phone call. Sabres lose. The Bills are going to win on Sunday. It's going to be fun.
I guess it's a little bold there. You're setting yourself up for the jinx, aren't you? Saying that outright?
If they lose, there will be only one person that we are coming for.
Ooh.
No, I shouldn't say that.
If they lose, there's one person. Joe Brady?
Because the only way they lose is if their offense is in a slumber again. And I just...
Yeah.
At home, no. They're going to be fine.
And even... No, not even if they did. If they did, it wouldn't be good.
They're going to be fine.
But Cooper not playing would be like, well, I'm getting Cooper back. No, they can't. You can't lose that game.
803-0550. I'm bullish on the Bills on Sunday in Tennessee. We'll see, you know, from there how it goes, how soon Amari Cooper gets involved. Sabres thoughts, more than welcome. Happy Friday. A beautiful fall weekend is on the way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.